Good morning, brothers and sisters. You are now going to listen to a translated sermon of Brother Duurt Sikkens, minister of the Full Gospel Church in Kampen in the Netherlands. Hope. Let us read Romans 8, verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. The redemption of our body. This doesn't mean that you lose your body. It means that it will be revealed that your body has become immortal after your resurrection. The immortal will be shown to be stronger than the mortal, and the new person will be revealed in all its glory. Let us now look at Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that a lovely name for God, the God of hope? A farmer, when he sows, knows what he sows. If he didn't know what he was sowing, then he wouldn't be doing so in the first place. He also knows that what he has sown will grow. He obviously does not sow on a street or in the sea. He sows his seed in a field. Hold on to that image of the farmer, because the farmer is God himself, says James in chapter 5, verse 7. He started with one seed, and he didn't stand there waiting, hoping for it to sprout and grow. You never know what might happen, if only it will grow, and always praying for it. No, he has sown with a built-in sense of hope. However, the word hope has lost its meaning for us. It has been degraded to mean to wait and see. For example, I hope that the sun will shine, or the well-known expression, let's hope so. The word hope has lost its original meaning. It has lost its strength. In our passage, the God of hope is mentioned. He is the creator, the founder of hope. It comes forth straight from him. The word hope must be renewed and regain its original meaning. The word expectation comes closest to expressing the meaning of hope. A pregnant woman does not say, I hope that something will be born. She knows so. That is the original meaning of the word hope. Time also plays a factor in the meaning of the word hope, but we'll come to that at a later stage. In Galatians 6, verse 8, it says, For he that sows to his flesh shall reap corruption of the flesh. So, if you do your very best in the natural world, what do you reap? Only things that pass, visible treasures, and they are dead. They have no eternal value, even religious zest. In Psalms 127 it says, Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. In vain. When you finish a job and you reach the conclusion that it has all been for nothing, then that can be very frustrating. That is why I feel that you have to be able to put your worldly job and your interest in daily activities into perspective. If these things give you your stature, then that is really a pity for you. It doesn't have any spiritual value. Besides, what would the carpenter from Nazareth have thought about it? In the same passage in Galatians, it goes on to say, But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Do you know that the word Spirit in our version of the Bible is spelled with a capital S, and that in the original Greek version it is spelled with a small letter S? The Holy Spirit is never spelled with capital letters either in the Greek version. The translators have introduced that themselves. He that sows to the Spirit, that's you, yourself. God sows his expectation, his word in you, and you can sow that same expectation in the hearts of others. that is sowing to the spirits of men, and from there eternal life, your life, is born. That is eternal. To hope is to expect something positive. So don't just sit there, doubting. However, the hope that we hold on to cannot be seen. As soon as that which you have hoped for is seen, then that hope has been realized. Is that true or not? It is the realization of that which you have always believed on the basis of the words that the Father of hope, God, has spoken. This is what it is all about. The realization lies in the future. It has to do with things to come. And the things to come have to do with you. You have a right to them. You shouldn't just look ahead, otherwise you would just be calculating how long will it take all the time. You shouldn't do that. It isn't a matter of time, but of your own faith. You grasp something in faith. It is actually based on statements made by God. He has set the hope in me. How then? By sowing his hope in my heart. Isn't that beautiful? God has laid his own expectations in you so that the expectations can take shape. Just as a mother can give stature to a man's seed, so can the church give stature to a man's seed in heaven. Let me put it this way, that hope, his word, will become flesh. John said that you can feel it, that you can touch it. We have heard it and seen it near to us. It took shape in that small boy in Bethlehem. Yes, Jesus, your brother. That is why he is sitting with us here together. He is very pleased to have his brothers and sisters around him, because he can see that you too have faith in what God is expecting. You can call it the kingdom of God. Your expectations are based on God's words. Can you name one of God's most important expectations that has hardly ever been fulfilled? It is one of his oldest thoughts, namely, shall we make people according to my image? Well, the angels have thought about it and they said, we shall assist. Everybody assisted, except for the devil. He tried to obstruct it. And when there was one such person, God asked that person the same question again. Shall we do it? Yes, said Adam, but I miss someone. God created a partner out of that person to show that man and woman belong together. And out of those two people, more people were made, people of the world, and this continued through the centuries. However, God does not only want people according to his image, he also wants people according to his likeness. That is one very old promise, one of the Father's expectations. I am so happy that God has never stopped expecting it. That is why he is called the God of hope. He isn't just sitting around, waiting to see if it will happen. That is not his nature. He knows that it will happen to people, to you. After you die? Yes, it begins after death. Haven't you been resurrected? You have witnessed to that effect when you were baptized. That was the time of your resurrection. But how many people still think secretly, I'll see it all after I have died? I really think that that's a pity. You've been dead once already. Do you really want to die again? Our earthly body is temporary, but my spirit is full of life forever. And in the same way as my spirit grows, my spiritual body grows too. You cannot see this happen. A spiritual person is the likeness of God. A worldly person is not. Take another image. A worldly person is a worm. The Greek word is scolex. This means a larva or a caterpillar. It is the form of an animal which it just should not be. It eats from the earth. But something should come out of that larva. The caterpillar is the mortal person of the world, and the being that comes forth from it is the real person. In the insect world, this is called the image. This is the man of God, the person as God has meant to be, who lives with him in heaven, and that is now in the Spirit. One can still meet a lot of people who on their deathbed think, have I really done enough to inherit eternal life? It doesn't work like that. You are doing the works of God now. Those are the ones. Those works build up your righteousness. It means that you believe God. Later on, the sinners, in the final resurrection, will be judged according to their works, not to their sins. Revelation 20, verse 12. However, do not hope to be rewarded for your achievements in this world, because otherwise it would be your achievement, and you would not be living through grace. To live through grace is much easier, and much more beautiful, and much more real. So many people are hoping for something, and we have the answer to God's hope in our hands. That is, eternal life together with God. Jesus was the first to grasp that. It means that it is possible for a person. In Hebrews 11, verse 39, it is stated for all the faithful in the Old Testament, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, no longer in their earthly lives, but they continued to believe, and that is why they died in faith. And you can count on it that in the meantime, after their death, they have encountered that hope in themselves through the preaching of the gospel in heaven. Did you think that all those saints that have died are now resting in heaven? They are still preaching the gospel. They are sharing it with each other so that knowledge can grow. In the meantime, they have all been baptized with the Spirit. The word goes on, and it is multiplying both in heaven and earth. In Hebrews 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith forms the basis of hope. What do you hope for? Go and believe that. God hopes, and he also believes in what he is hoping for. The nature of his hope is clear. It is not vague. I have put my hope on the completed work of Jesus Christ so that I can see in him what God's hope can generate in a person. And then Jesus died for us so that it could come within reach for other people. And then the hope started to generate in you. It is therefore based on something that happened in heaven. That is the hope. Peter calls it the living hope, 1 Peter 3, verse 3. A hope that lives, thrives. And Peter says that you should always be ready to give an answer to every man that asks of you a reason of the hope that is in you. 1 Peter 3, verse 15. When people ask you about it, then you are more than willing to tell them. Can you try to put into words the hope that the Father has created in you and in which you have faith? You should tell God about it. Or, if you don't know it yet, then you should ask him what he hopes so that you can hope that too. You see, that hope will start to live. God will fulfill that promise in you. When he saw that his plan concerning hope was interrupted by lies, and when the devil kicked man down to earth resulting in death, then God saw, well, what did he see? Did he see his hope go up in smoke? The delay came, but at the same time he was thinking, how can I make mankind free from death, and how can I give eternal life back to mankind? Life and death cannot go together. He created rivalry between them. You should therefore look on death as your enemy. If you do that, then you have a healthy approach. Death is no redeemer. Indeed, you need to be redeemed from death in order to live. Well, you can be redeemed from death through the baptism in Jesus' death. The baptism in water symbolizes this. Abraham hoped for descendants. Sarah was unable to conceive children. In Romans 4, verse 18, it reads, who against hope believed in hope. everything seemed to be turned against him. Literally, it says, in the hopelessness. How did he hold on to that hope? We can read that a little further on in verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he did not give up. Abraham said, I will continue to believe, and the more hopeless it may seem to be, the stronger my faith will become. That will be my response. Well, you can be sure that we will also have to deal with situations that may seem to be hopeless. I can assure you, that isn't a threat, it will just happen. There are those that I can see who are agreeing even now because they have to struggle against ailments, against pain, against difficulties, against evil spirits. A lot of things have happened to them, but they continue to believe because they have placed their hope on the invisible God, on His Word, on His Son, Jesus Christ. That is how their faith is strengthened. I know very well that we do not have the solution to all problems. That is why it takes faith to see hope being fulfilled. Does faith create so much trouble? No. Faith in itself does not create trouble, but the opposition by the devil, that creates trouble. And then having faith is shown to be worth the trouble. To believe is to trust in God, even during the oppression. Jesus was the first who fulfilled God's hope. That means that Jesus trusted God. He has had to believe it all too, you know. Or do you think that it all just happened? Then you should have spoken with him when he was in the desert, in the midst of temptations. When he had a very difficult time in Gethsemane, an angel came to help him. Why? Because Jesus' hope was attacked. He had set his hope on God, and God had set his hope on Jesus. It wasn't of any concern that he was doing his best. All that mattered was that he believed God's promises and that he held on to them. He needed to believe that God would resurrect him. He accepted the baptism with the Spirit in faith. He has been the first of many brothers in the faith. He has been through it all and has experienced it. He has experienced so much that he can understand you. He can even feel the same things you feel. It is really good when someone can fully understand what you are feeling. He doesn't fall down with you. He understands you. And he starts to think of a solution together with you so that you can find a way to come out of it. Jesus was the first who believed according to the idea of the sonship. This is what God imagined a son would be like. God had set his hope on such an uncomplicated person. I don't need the happiness of the religious world. I don't need power praise, nor gospel rock, nor dynamic speakers. No, as long as I only believe what God has said, that works, and the rest is just a bluff. The Old Testament could not produce such a perfect person, but it should create the hopeful one. The only way to become spiritually mature is by receiving the Spirit, because the Spirit is working on the things to come, and therefore also on the people to come. It is that Spirit that makes the Word of God alive in you. The Spirit of God is doing that. It is His work. Because as he hears, he speaks, and he does his work in you. Jesus had to die. It became possible for us to receive the Spirit as a result of his death, because the Spirit can only be received by those who believe in the resurrection of Jesus. This Spirit does not use force and violence. It is attracted to the meek. The Spirit of God comes from God and has been revealed in Jesus. Jesus was a meek person. Is that our Lord? Is that all he is? Yes. He had a position without esteem or reverence. One would not have envied him at all. He told of the things that the Spirit revealed to him straight from the Father. I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him, he said. That is the Jesus whom we follow. We do not follow a stream foaming and bubbling, but we follow, quoting from Isaiah, the waters of Shiloah that go softly. We do not follow a windy storm that cuts through the treetops, but a cool breeze that soothes where it is delightful to breathe. God's hope becomes reality in the Mikkei, because God himself is Mikkei. Hope is based on God's words. The Spirit keeps it alive, keeps your faith alive, keeps you completely alive. That is a living faith. Jesus even believed that his mortal body would not decay. He told the angels, keep watch over that body. What were the angels doing at the graveyard? Well, they were there, guarding Jesus' earthly body. He did not want it to become a victim of the spirits of decay. Did he go back into the grave at his resurrection? Did he go back to that body, put it back on, and walk out of there? No, not at all. It isn't a resurrection of the flesh that is part of some sort of catechism. Our flesh will not be resurrected. It will change. He was spiritually resurrected with a spiritual body. His spiritual body consumed his mortal body, changed it, and covered it. There were no footsteps coming out of the grave. It isn't a resurrection of the flesh. Christ in us, the hope of the glory of God. That is the basis of your hope. Christ within you. How then? Through his Spirit. You don't have to sing, Jesus lives in me. He doesn't do that. God is Spirit. And in the same way that God lived in Jesus through his Spirit, in the same way he lives in all people through his Spirit. When Jesus says, we shall come and live in him, then that is through the Spirit. Jesus was the first dwelling of God, and Peter was perhaps the second, and John the third, and so on. All of them were places where God lived, and all the faithful together form God's house. Jesus was the first, the cornerstone. When the Father and the Son come to live in you through his Spirit, then it means that the sonship will be revealed in you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Because that is exactly what it's all about. I am not asking whether you should be believing that according to your church's doctrine. Do you believe that it is happening in you? Do you believe this at this moment, now that you are ill or that you are in a difficult situation? Do you believe this now that you are in a wheelchair? Was the gospel preached to you saying that you have to be healed, that you have to get out of that wheelchair? Or was the Father's hope conceived in you? That is the gospel that we preach. That is the joyful news of the gospel. The first point is not that we are able to get everyone out of their wheelchair. The first point is that hope is conceived. Signs should follow this gospel. I used to have to sing in the past that hope should soften your suffering. That's correct, you know. You should understand that. Try to ignite that hope which comes from Christ in those people. That will be of benefit to them. Otherwise, you may induce a false sense of hope. I can tell you that the opposite of hope is fear. And if you sway between hope and fear, then fear will win. Fear comes from the devil. We were told to fear God, but fear comes from the devil. When he becomes afraid, and he makes you become part of that fear, then you will feel that same sense of fear. Then you will be afraid too. But he should be the one that is trembling. And what is he afraid of? Not of loud-mouthed people, only of people who are from God. Of people who are part of God, who say, very simply in faith, the only relationship between the devil and ourselves is enmity. Enmity. I do not accept that at all. That is some statement. And the more you believe it, the less you will have to use it. The more you believe this, you will find yourself praying this prayer less and less. Believe in what you pray for. Then you will find that you will be more at peace within yourself. I also speak for myself, you know. Colossians 1 verse 5 reads, hope is laid up for you and for us in heaven. What does laid up mean? It means to be taken care of in the heavens, in the invisible world. That is where you are right now, where your future lies. That is where hope grows. In Revelations 3, verse 10, it says, "Because you have kept the word of my patience, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." Isn't our Lord good to us? He says, "Keep the word of my patience." Everything is against you. Politics, religion. You are slandered because of my name. Because you, in your faith, which is so simple, continue to expect me. Because you continue to believe that Christ comes to you. Because you continue to believe in his expectations. Because you continue to expect him in you. Therefore, do so and continue to expect it. If you do that, then he will continue to care for you. How can we do that? Your expectation has saved you. You are cared for in God's hope, in God's love. You are saved through his word. Some have been beaten to death for holding on to his word, but they have been saved. They have not lost their faith. They have not given up. And that is why I admire those people so. Paul says, "Great plainness of speech." I would like to read Hebrews 6 verse 11 with you. "And we desire that every one of you to show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you do not be slothful." Go and realize that hope. What will it lead to? When you have realized that hope, then you will have achieved glorification of your soul. That is the intense happiness that you have always hoped for and what you believed in. I need to secure that complete state of glory, because I will then be in the kingdom of God. I will meet a lot of controversy, I know that very well. But the God of hope has promised that he will accomplish that in you and me. Then I will have achieved what God wanted me to do. Then I will be there with him. Then I will have reached the very core of God's kingdom. That is what it's all about. Then I will be able to do good works all the time. Then I can do what I would like to do. And I think that that is the most beautiful state to be in. If you can find out all what God's wishes are, then they will become your wishes too, you know. Well, that is hope. Do you believe that? Do you also believe in the love of God, that he has never let go? That is why I still believe in those three words, faith, hope, and love. All these things come forth out of God's love. That is his greatest strength, and it is yours too. I am so happy that his lovely image, that his hope, has settled in me. When I saw him, I thought, it's true. I can see it in his face. It's true. He doesn't induce false hope in me. It is true. This is life. In 1 John 3 verse 2 it says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure." Yes, your brother John said that, and he was right. Jesus said once, "Stay in me as I stay in you." Then it will become reality. Then you will be true yourself. Amen. Let us pray. Father, there are so many people who find themselves in a hopeless situation, who cannot see a way out. But you are the one who restores hope, because you stand beside us. You are someone who does not lose hope yourself, because you continue to believe in the people who believe your Son Jesus. And he who believes him has eternal life in himself. That is why we thank you. Not because we are afraid of you, but because it is true what you say. Thank you for your Spirit who keeps the hope alive so that we, deep within ourselves, know that you have also set your hope on us. We are greatly honored, and that is why we worship you. Thank you for loving us unconditionally. Amen.